It's my understanding from the scriptures, if you look in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, and then also in the Revelation, it's my understanding from what I read in the scriptures that there are angels in heaven, that their eternal job is to just fly around the throne of God and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Isaiah spoke about them in his time, and he lived some 700 or so years before Christ came. Isaiah was, you know, an Old Testament prophet, and in his day, God gave him a vision of that. And in the day of the Apostle John, when he gave to John the revelation, he gave him the same vision. And they were there all the time, just circling the throne, ascribing holiness to God. What a good song. Bless you, Sister Laura. Thank you for sharing that with us today. I want to ask for your prayers today. I want to try to share with you the things that God has placed upon my heart. I'd like to read some scripture from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians in the first chapter of Ephesians. If you would like to read along with me today, please turn there to Ephesians 1, and we will begin reading together with verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And I want to stop reading there, having read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, for a scripture reading. And you know, we find mention within these verses that I have read several times where the Apostle Paul referenced the will of God. And I would like to today speak about God's will for those who are lost. God's will for those who are lost. And you know, this is something that I know that oftentimes in our Christian lives, oftentimes there are things that come up against us. There are choices that come before us. There are decisions that we are going to have to make from time to time in life. And we don't really know what God's will is. And so we begin to seek him in the matter. We begin to pray and we begin to call upon the name of the Lord, and we beseech God in that way that he might reveal unto us his will, that his Holy Spirit might show us what God would have us to do. Now, I believe that God still speaks to his children today through his Holy Spirit the way that he always has. And he can show us by revealing that to us through the working of his Holy Spirit what it is that God would be pleased with and what it is that he would have us to do. But when we pray for those who are lost, we don't have to pray that God would save them if it could be his will, do we? Because God has already revealed to us in his word time and time again what his will is for those who are not saved. We know what God's will is. And the Apostle Paul here in these verses that I have read before you today, he said that that the Lord had predestinated us unto the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And so the will of God for all of those who are lost is that they would come to be his child, that they would be saved. I want you to know today that if you're here and you're lost and without God, that his will for you today is that you would seek him and be saved, that you would experience this adoption through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might become his child. You know, this was in the mind of God before that man was ever created and placed on the earth. We have to remember that God is eternal and that he is from everlasting to everlasting. And the Bible tells us that he is the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity. And there were things that God was doing before he ever formed this world, before he ever created this world, and before he ever created man and placed him on the earth. There were things that God had already done. And the Apostle Paul was writing here about these things in these verses that I have read. And he said, you know, he pronounced, as Sister Laura did in the song that she shared with us today, to ascribe this great holiness and this great blessedness to the God that we serve. And the Apostle Paul did that here in the verse that I begin my reading today in the third verse. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God today for the great things that he has done for you and I. Amen? And that's what Paul was saying here. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, how did that happen? What was Paul talking about when he said that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Well, he goes on and he expounds upon that, and he explains how it was that he had done that. The word according here, I believe that we could properly use the word even, and it would mean exactly the same thing. So God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, even as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So listen, God, before man had ever been created, God had established the way for man to be saved. And you know, this is something that, and we certainly need to be thankful for this. Certainly we need to bless God, our Heavenly Father, for this, because did you know that that choice was completely up to Him? It was completely in the hands of God. There was nobody there when God made the plan of salvation. There was nobody there to try to sway Him one way or another. You and I were not there today to say, God, I want you to choose that you would make a way for us to be saved. God made that choice before that you and I were ever even created. He made that choice before man was ever created. God, because of His amazing, vast foreknowledge, was able to look and see what man would do. He knew ahead of time, because God knows everything, and there's nothing that's ever hidden from God. And so through His great foreknowledge, He was able to know what man would do when He gave him the law that He did. He was able to know whether man would keep that law or break that law. But I'm going to tell you something that I believe, and I think this answers a lot of the questions that people get confused about. The fact that God had the knowledge of that is not what made it happen. Adam chose. He chose. He willfully chose to disobey God. There's a difference between something being foreknown. There's a difference between foreknowledge and predestination. But I do believe that that the Bible teaches us a doctrine of predestination. And I have shared this with the church before. I do not embrace the teachings, and I do not believe the teachings that have been in the world for many years, that God predestinated from the very foundation of the world certain ones to be saved and others to not be saved. That there would only be those that He had predestinated, that only they could come to Christ for the salvation of their soul, and all the rest of the world who He had not chosen before the beginning of time would be lost and without God. That the Bible does not teach us that. But it does teach us that God predestinated a plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ before the world ever began. And did you know that if you read the things that Jesus said and a statement that Jesus made while He was here on the earth, when He was giving His life a ransom for our sins, even though that God had predestinated Him to come, even all of this had been foreordained and God had predetermined before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would come into the world and die for our sins, Jesus made it plain when He was about to be crucified that He had the choice of whether to die or not, didn't He? Did He not say that He could presently, that He could pray to His Father and He would send more than 12 legions of angels? Did Jesus not make it plain that He was dying by choice? And He certainly did. He chose to give His life a ransom for our sins. He did it willingly. Jesus didn't have to do what He did for us, did He? He didn't have to do it, but aren't you glad that He did? So this was in the mind of God, and that's what Paul is teaching us. And here's what God did predestinate. He did predestinate that salvation for all of man, for all people, for all time, that salvation would only be available through the Lord Jesus Christ. that we could only have redemption through His blood, that the sacrifice that Jesus made was the only thing that would satisfy God, and the only blood that could be shed to atone for our sins. God did predestinate that all of those that would be saved throughout all time would be saved the same way, by the same means, through the same one, and that being Jesus. And God still today, listen, I want you to know that still today, many, many years of time have passed by, but God still yet today will not accept anybody by any means other than Jesus. He still won't. He never has, and He never will. And so, He predestinated this plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have redemption through His blood. That's God's will for everybody. God made a plan of salvation for everybody. And I'm telling you today that of all the people in the world, no matter what type of culture they're from, no matter the color of their skin, no matter whether they are a person that's rich in this world or they're a person that's poor in this world, whether they are strong or weak, it doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you that God does not condone sin. Those that are living their lives, just frolicking in sin and just following after sin, God does not condone, or God does not approve of the sinful lives that people live. But I'm telling you that it's God's will for them to be saved, just the same as it is for a person that's trying to live what we would call a decent, upstanding moral life. You know why? Because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. That's why when the Lord shed His blood at Calvary, that He had to shed His blood for me. He had to shed His blood for you, because we're all sinners. And I'll tell you what, I know I've heard people sing about this, and I never did believe that this was true. I don't believe that Jesus shed one drop of His blood for me and one drop of His blood for you. I'm telling you, when He died for my sins, He shed all of His blood for me, and He shed all of His blood for you. And what that signifies is that it took His death. Jesus had to give His life a ransom for our sins. That was predetermined. That was foreordained. That was predestinated. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came into this world knowing what He had to do. He knew what He had to do. Brother Wayne Strode, that old song is right. If that isn't love, if that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no birds in the sky. If that isn't love, then nothing is true. The Word of God and what Jesus did for us is the greatest truth the world has ever known. He gave His life that we could be saved, that we could be redeemed. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said this in reference to God, that He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What does all mean there? It means everybody. I believe that this is described the best in the Apostle Paul's sermon there when he preached to the men of Athens preached a sermon there at Mars Hill. What did Paul say there? God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. That doesn't leave anybody out, does it? God has commanded that of all men everywhere. Why? Because all men everywhere are sinners and in need of repentance. I believe the Bible teaches us that God doesn't want anybody to die lost and in their sins by the fact that the 25th chapter of Matthew tells us that when the Lord comes back one day and makes his glorious appearing when he makes his second coming one day, that he's going to gather all nations before him, and he's going to separate his children from those who are not his children, just like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And the fact that the Lord is going to say unto those of his children, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And he's going to say unto those on the left, those who are lost, he's going to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for you." No, prepared for the devil and his angels. And I believe the fact that the Bible tells us that God made the lake of fire, that he prepared hell as a place for the devil and his angels, that alone tells us that it is not God's desire, it's not his will to send anybody to that place. It wasn't even made for man. But those who are lost, they have more of the nature of the devil than they do God, and that's where they have to go. Lost friend, let me tell you something. Believe it. If you continue in your sins, if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell. If you die in your sins, you're going to be among those that are not found written in the book of life, and you're going to be cast forever into the lake of fire, and you're going to spend eternity in the torments of that place. But if that happens, it's going to be on you, because it's not God's will for that to happen to any person. You know, we as human beings, like Paul did here in his writing to the Ephesians, we better give thanks to God, and we better bless God, our Heavenly Father, today that he made a plan of salvation for human beings. He didn't do that for the angels. He didn't do that for the angels that fall. The angels that have sinned against God, his holy angels, those ministering spirits that God created, those that have sinned against God, they are just, the Bible says they have been reserved in chains, and there is no redemption for them. There is no way back. But for us, for those of all the human race, even though we had sinned and trampled God's goodness under our feet, God made a way for us to be able to be forgiven of our sin. He made a way for us to escape the consequences of sin. Let me tell you something. Sin has awful consequences. You know what? If you're here today and you've been saved and you've committed sin, you've done something against God, if you've done something in your life that God would not be pleased with, if you've committed something that goes against the teachings of God's word for those who have been saved, did you know that you can bring that to the Lord and He can wash it away in His blood? He sure can. Have you ever had to be forgiven of something after you got saved? Sure, in the flesh, we still have that nature of sin, don't we? If we say that we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Thank God that He forgives sin. I'm telling you today, if you're here and you're lost, you are in a condition. You cannot go to heaven in the condition that you're in. You just can't go. There's got to be a change made. There's got to be something done. There's got to be a work in your heart before you are suitable for heaven. And only God can make that change. Only God has the power to save you today. And He wants to. Let me tell you something. You know, I believe there are people right here in this church today. There are people among us that by lack of their testimony, they're lost and without God. And I'm telling you, I believe there are people here today that would just shout the roof off if you were to get saved today by the grace of God. There would be rejoicing in heaven today in the presence of the angels if sinners repented today and come to know the Lord. But I'm telling you, there's nobody happier than God when somebody gets saved. There's nobody that wants it more than He does. He's the one that did everything in order for you to be saved. God, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and this is in reference to Jesus, that He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God made His plan. He made a plan. And so you know what? When God created man and when He gave him a law to keep and Adam sinned against God, he willfully disobeyed God and willfully transgressed the law of God. Did you know that Adam did not have to spend 1 second upon the earth without a way to get back to God? Because the plan had already been made. It had already been made. The Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter was writing about the coming of the Lord. And He's coming, friends. He made the promise that He would come. And the Apostle Peter said He's not slack concerning that promise. But listen, he said He is long-suffering to usward. Why? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We may look sometimes at people and not like the choices in life that they've made. We may look at people and not approve of the way they live their lives. But I'll tell you what, the Lord died for all. And He offers salvation to everybody. Aren't you glad that you didn't have to have a bunch of money to be saved? Aren't you glad that that He didn't make a plan of salvation only for those who are filthy rich? Aren't you thankful that he didn't make a plan of salvation only for a certain nationality of people? I'm glad that God made a whosoever will plan of salvation, because when it comes to the time in my life when I needed it, it was available to me, just like it is to everybody. If you're here today and you are lost, if you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, God's will is for you to be saved and to join him in heaven when this life is over, and to sing the happy praises of the redeemed for all of eternity. Everybody that has died without him, everybody that will die without him and have to spend eternity in that lower world, will do so against the will of the Lord. It's not his will for any to perish. Brother Strode, let's have a song. I want to ask the church today, while we sing, continue to pray for those who are lost. You need to be saved, lost friend. I hope you realize today that you need that more than anything. While I ask the congregation to stand and we sing,